We're going to go to Psalm 119. We're going to spend some time here. I don't know how long, maybe all year. We'll see. There's quite a few verses in Psalm 119 if you've ever read through it. 176, I believe, to be exact. And let's see, after Abraham and Moses here, let me check and make sure I got the number right. Yes, it is. Very good. There are actually 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of them is represented by 8 verses in this psalm. And just a wonderful psalm. If you would like to stand, if you're able, we're just going to read verses 1 through 8. But we're not reading the whole chapter today, okay? I just want you to know that. But we are going to read the first 8 verses. I don't know how far I'll get tonight with these 8 verses, but we'll see. We'll plow a ways and plant some seed and cover up the furrows and give it some water and see if something grows. Amen. All right. Why don't we just read these 8 together? Y'all read very well this morning. Let's read these 8 verses together, beginning in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. And this series of messages I've just titled, The Word of God. And you can just say, the wonderful Word of God. One of the lessons that we'll go over in Sunday school in the near future, one of the things that I want folks to understand is that Christians today seem to have lost the wonder of the Word of God. This is a wonderful book. It's a book full of wonder. And anyone that's, if you want to call him an old timer or someone who's been around the block a few times, I don't know what do you want to call, beloved older folks. And I mean that. I love grandmas and grandpas. They're some of my favorite people. And the thing about it is you might remember back to a time where there really wasn't much of a television idea, or there wasn't much there wasn't the internet at all, or cell phones and things like that, computers and such. But a time when things seemed to be a whole lot simpler. When kids used their imagination and played outside and did such things. And when the Word of God was one of the most interesting books you've ever read. It seems like our friend the devil, right? Who's really not our friend, right? But he seems to have stolen the wonder and amazement from Christians about this old book. How many times, Christian, when you sit down to read, maybe in the morning or afternoon or evening, you kind of get into the Bible and you start reading and your eyelids get a little heavy and you just start going, oh, it's better to trust in the Lord. We're not enamored by it. We're not amazed by it anymore. But the wonderful Word of God. This first Hebrew letter is the letter Aleph, and you can study through Hebrew letters and such and so forth. Many Bible college students have studied Hebrew and Greek and things like that. If you will, most common church members haven't done that. And that's okay. You don't need to. We have it in the English language. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. That's great. And listen, you're not going to get any more from the scripture if you read the Greek or if you read the Hebrew. God gave us what he wants us to have, okay? But this is, if I found very interesting. Just take a look at these letters. In most Bibles, in this one here, it has the symbol, it has the name of the letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the way that this was compiled, it was put together so that there are 8 verses representing each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Very interesting study to get into. I'm not going to get into all of that tonight, but I do want to signify some things about this psalm. If you read every single verse, all 176 of them, every verse mentions in some way, shape, or form the Word of God. Every verse. It's a delight. It pictures them, it paints them, it speaks of them in different ways, in different avenues, and different perspectives. But it's all talking about, all 176 verses speaks of God's Word. Hey, listen. What more do we need today than the Word of God? What more? Someone, anyone. I can't think of anything. What more do we need today than to hear from God? What more do we need today than to understand the mind of God? I lack for an answer because I can't think of anything that we could need or use or have more than these things. You see, the Word of God for the Christian, for the believer, or the Word of God even for the wayward one who has wandered away from Christ, or perhaps one who is lost and without God. What more could we use in any category than the wonderful Word of God? You know what? Many of us in our houses or cars or things that we own have Bibles lying here and there. We have them everywhere. Just because of the volume of my family, I guarantee you we have over 40 in our house, or 50 maybe. I don't know. I know in my office at Trinity Baptist Church, I have 5 or 6 Bibles in there. I think I only have one here right now, but I'll move some books over. But you understand, we have them lying everywhere, yes? But how often do we partake of the words of God? How often do we open up the book and read it? Or if you will, read it with some semblance of wanting to know or understand something. Perhaps it's just mechanical for you. Oh, got to read my Bible today. Oh, yep, read 6 chapters. I don't have a clue what they said, but I read them. Or maybe like the Bible college student, you know, you just, okay, saw that page. It's like, yes, I looked at every page in the book. Okay. Did you read this book? Yes. but what did you glean from it? What did you get from it? What did you absorb from it? The wonderful Word of God. Well, let's just look at verse 1. We're going to go step by step through here. We're going to take our time. We're going to tarry, if you will, and just absorb and sink ourselves into this book of wonder for just a few moments tonight. Look at the first verse. It is written, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Anybody in here would love to be blessed? I personally already feel blessed. I have an opportunity to serve God. I have a wonderful wife. I have 11 children. Okay? You say, that's not a blessing. That's a curse. No, it's a blessing. I promise. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Okay? They're a blessing. And and they say, well, isn't your quiver full? I don't know how big my quiver is. So we'll see. Some quivers hold lots of arrows. But you know what? But to be blessed, we live in America. And you know what? We live in Texas, bless God. Texas. I love Texas. I'm a born and raised North Dakota farm boy, but I like Texas. It reminds me of home. North Dakota's generally a conservative state, if you will. We like fracking and oil and cattle and farms and crops just like you guys do. Like y'all do. Okay? That's the only difference. We say you guys, you say y'all. So we'll get there. But you know, But we're blessed, are we not?
We get to meet together in church. We get to have the Word of God. Some countries, this book is outlawed. Can't have it. It's against the law. I know in China, there are missionaries that have to meet underground, changing places. And as soon as they start a church, they have to have a substitute pastor ready to go because the first pastor they know is going to get arrested soon. Oh, yeah. In our world today, it's like that. Hey, we're blessed. But listen to what he says. He says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. What does it mean to be defiled? It means to be spoiled, to be wasted, to be spotted, or to be with spot, or such. But to be undefiled. How does God want His church to be presented to Himself? No spot, no wrinkle, undefiled. That's what we are supposed to be. We've already talked last week about walking not in the flesh, and not after the flesh, but after the Spirit and in the Spirit. Not producing the works of the flesh, which we numbered and is numbered there in Ephesians and in Galatians, but rather to be filled with the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 22. Old Testament passage of Scripture. 1 Chronicles. We have the different kings of Israel and Judah. 1 Chronicles 22. Some good, mostly bad, right? They had a hard time, didn't they? But we're talking about David here. And in 1 Chronicles 22, look at verse 11. David giving some advice, some last words, if you will, to his son. He's talking to Solomon and he is preparing him for passing on the kingdom and the throne to his son Solomon, right? And in verse 11, he says, "Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel." Listen to this. "That thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God." We're talking about the law of the Lord. We're talking about the undefiled in the way. He says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." You see, a law is something enacted by a sovereign one. Something enacted by a sovereign one. Isn't God our sovereign? Isn't He the one that is king in our lives? And we are His humble servants. When the king gives a decree or a law, right? The servants are to obey. They are to follow the law of the king, the sovereign one, the one that they have given their life over to. You see, folks, that's us. Those of us that are called by His name because we're born again, He is sovereign. He's in control. He is the king. He is the sovereign one. He is the one whose law makes a difference to us in our lives. You know, Solomon was about to be king. David was king. He's telling his son, "Son, you walk in the law of the Lord, even though you're king, because He's your king." Right. Mr. Solomon could do whatever he wanted. Sure he could. But then he wouldn't be blessed. Because the Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." If you've studied Solomon's life, he did well at the beginning. As did a lot of kings of Israel and Judah. Some of them, they did well maybe at part of their life, and or maybe they started out bad and they ended up good, and or they started out good and ended up bad, or they kind of went good, bad, good, or bad, good, bad. I mean, it's a mixed bag if you read through the different chapters of history of the children of Israel. But you know what? This Bible verse, this scripture is true. Solomon's life started out well. He built the house of God. The glory of the Lord came and filled the house that they built. Oh, what a beautiful day. Wonderful day in Israel's history. Wealth above measure. Beyond measure. Some even say that there will not be an entity that will exceed the wealth that Solomon had collected. Even in today's time. But you see, it didn't stop there, did it? We understand from reading the Bible that his life began to turn. When he no longer followed the wisdom that he was speaking, that God had given to him. And one of the things that caused him the most trouble was all the wives that he ended up collecting. Like action figures or something. I don't know what. Like a stamp collection. I don't know what it was, but he had a bunch of them, right? What did it say? That they turned his heart away from God. At the end of his life, Solomon was not walking in the law of the Lord. And guess what? He was no longer undefiled. He had spot and wrinkle in his life. And guess what? At the end of his life, he was no longer blessed. It's a truth. It's a truth. Hey, listen. In our lives, throughout the course of a day, sometimes we falter, don't we? Sometimes we stumble. But aren't you glad for forgiveness? Aren't you glad you can get back into the law of the Lord? Aren't you glad you can get back in the way? Aren't you glad that you can be cleansed from your sin? Oh yes, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's what Jesus does for us. You see, the law of the Lord is an enacted law by the sovereign one. It's the law of the Lord. Look at 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings is before 1 Chronicles. 2 Kings chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse 31. How many of you heard of this guy named Jehu? Yes, yes. Fun study about Mr. Jehu. Very interesting. But I want you to see what the scripture says about him in verse 31. It says, but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. Hey, Jehu did some mighty things, and he did some things that were good. But this is said of him, that he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. And of course, we know that was idolatry. They set up the places of worship away from Jerusalem so that the people wouldn't go back to Rehoboam. You know, he was nervous about that. And we understand all of that about how that was a sin that was an evil thing in the sight of God. But Jehu, it was said of him in Scripture, it's recorded in Scripture, that he took no heed. He had almost an arrogant spirit about it. When you don't take heed to something, it's something you know about that you don't want to do. He said it took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. Friends, let's not have that said about us. Do we know better? Oh, many times, yes. Now, do we sin ignorantly from time to time? Absolutely. That can happen and does happen, does it not? Hey, listen. But there are some things that we know. Well, by the way, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. And to whom much is given, much is required. You see, we have these things. We know these things. But yet sometimes we take no heed. You just flat say, I don't want to walk in that way. I don't want to do that, God. No, I'm not. But the law of the Lord is given to us by the Sovereign One. Oh, yeah. And guess what? Our God is long-suffering. Yes, amen. Our God is merciful. Our God is gracious. But He's also a righteous judge. And these things will come home to roost. That's not a Bible verse. That's just true. We have chickens. I love our chickens. They're great pets because they give us eggs. Amen. And that's the only kind of pet I want. A pet that gives me something back. Okay? I feed you, you give me something back. That's how it works. If you don't give me something back, you're not good for a pet. Okay. Sometimes we'll get home a little late or something, and we let our chickens out of their pen and roam around our yard. We have a big enough yard and a fence and everything. But it's amazing how those chickens, they know when it gets a little dark, they all file back into their little place. They sit up there on their roost when it's time. And we go in and we look, count them all. They're all there. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The law of the Lord, that's something we need to pay attention to. Don't be a Jehu. Don't set in your heart that you're not going to do it. That you're not going to take any heed to walk in the law of the Lord, God of Israel, with all your heart. Don't be like a Solomon, who started out well, but left those things behind. Had his heart turned away from the law of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Look at verse 2. Go back to Psalm 119. Blessed. Oh, I like this. Here we go again. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. A testimony is a solemnly declared word beyond contradiction. A solemnly declared word beyond contradiction. Scientists have tried to prove God's word wrong. Archaeologists have tried to prove God's word wrong. Atheists and agnostics have tried to prove God's word wrong. And every single time, they prove it right. They do. Time after time after time. Why? It's without contradiction. Now, how many of you are a little bit like me and you are a little bit more of a lover of math things than English things? Anybody like that? Okay. So those of you math people, all right, math people, you know what an axiom is. Or some may call it a maxim, right? Or something that is, does not need to be proved. It's without contradiction. It doesn't have to be proved. Axiom. Doesn't have to be proved. It's just right. It's just true. It just is. Testimony. Without contradiction. Beyond contradiction. God's testimonies. Why? Because we already talked about this morning. God who cannot lie. Can't. Impossibility. It's true. It's true. Go to 2 Kings again. We're just looking at some examples here. We found some examples of the law of the Lord. Here we're looking for, in 2 Kings chapter 23, some examples of the testimonies of the Lord. 2 Kings 23. Now, these are not by any means all of them. Okay, we could go on and on and on and on for hours and hours. But just a little bit to whet your appetite, if you will. 2 Kings 23, look at verse 3. Talking about the king. And we see here that we have this king is Josiah. It says here in verse 3 that the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, and to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. That sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. And you know what? They worked through these things. And once again, they did a good thing. Started out well. Things kind of fell apart as Josiah grew older. He turned from God. It says here, back in Psalm 119, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. And don't lose them. Don't misplace them. Don't set them aside. Keep them. Keep them. Keep the testimonies of God. Keep the things declared that are beyond contradiction close by. Close at hand. You know, one of the things it says about Josiah, that he followed the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. When the priest was gone, there went his convictions too. I mean, how many kids grow up in Christian homes, good churches, good schools, all the days that they're under the roof of their parents, and then they're gone? Because they didn't keep the testimony. They set them aside. They left them behind. Or maybe they didn't have them at all. You see, God says, blessed are they. This is the second time we hear that phrase mentioned. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. So what does this have to do with? How is this solidified in us? Well, it's given to us after the comma. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. The whole heart. Solomon's heart was turned away. Josiah's heart was turned away. Jehu, he didn't follow, he didn't walk in the law of the Lord with all of his heart. What does the Bible say about the heart? Deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's a deceiver. It'll lead you in the wrong path. Be careful if someone says, I'm following my heart. No, don't go that way. Don't do it. What did David pray over and over again in the Psalms? Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away, right? You know that phrase, that passage of Scripture. From thy presence, O Lord. You know, our heart will deceive us. If we give God our heart, it will be right. If we allow Him to have it, it will be right. Because His ways will be our ways. and His thoughts will be our thoughts. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to keep His testimonies and seek Him with the whole heart. Go over to 2 Chronicles 34. Another example. 2 Chronicles 34. Look at verse 31. This is speaking about Josiah again, remember? We're just taking it from another book of the Bible. 2 Chronicles 34, look at verse 31. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused them that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God and the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel. And made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all the days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. See that word all a lot in there? All. Oh, we're supposed to serve Him with the whole heart. All of it. And when they did that, it was good. When they followed that, they were blessed. But when they didn't, they were not. I want you to look at the end of verse 30, chapter 35. At the end of verse 35 here, we see the end of his life. Look at verse 19. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. And after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." We know he dies there, and that's the end. We need to learn to seek God. His word is beyond contradiction. Josiah should have listened, but he didn't. And he paid the price for it. God wants us to follow His testimonies. They are sure. They are without contradiction. Let's look at one more tonight. Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 3. It says, "They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways." These ways are not our ways. They're His ways. His paths are not our paths. They're His paths. These thoughts are not His thoughts or our thoughts. They're His thoughts. Because His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. We understand that God has a way. They're His ways, not ours. They're unconventional, if you will. They're not really rational at all times, nor should they be to human reasoning. They're His. The ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord are the rule of His providence and our obedience. The divine providence of God is His alone. We do not have to understand it. All we have to do is follow. Do you think it really made sense for me to be the principal of a school and to change careers in the middle of a school year? Anybody? Does that make sense? I didn't think it really made a lot of sense. Okay? But does it matter what I think? No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter what I think. You see, God says that we need to follow His ways. Why? Because they're His. They're His ways. There doesn't need to be a why. We just need to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. We need to obey. We need to trust Him. Is He not trustworthy? Oh, I think He is. Oh, I know He is. I may have told you this before, but you know, when the person sits down and they have the sheet of cloth and it's wrapped around the wooden thing, and I think it's called cross point or stitch thingy or something or other. And you know, it has a little twisty thing on it, and it tightens it up, and they put the needle through there, right? And it makes these fine little stitches on top that make a picture of something, a teddy bear or a house or a tree. Needle point, or I don't know what you call it. Ladies, you know. I don't know what it is, but I just know it's really nice, okay? And you sometimes will hang them on the wall there or frame them. And there's a beautiful, intricate little stitches all over that pattern of that, and they're perfect. Absolutely. Every stitch is in its place. It's perfection. Everybody can see what the picture is. It's got the colors. It's vibrant. It's so intricate. It's wonderful. But any of you ever turn one of those things around? On the backside of one of those things, it is a mess. An absolute chaos of strings everywhere. If you were to turn that around and put that on the wall, you'd be like, what is that? Looks like a cat that had a colorful hairball. It doesn't make any sense. It's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. Does it? But remember the other side. Perfect picture. Guess what, folks? God's making a perfect picture. We don't have to understand the mess that it looks like. Because remember, He's up there. He sees the perfect picture. What do we see? The mess of string. God, what are you doing? I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense. You don't have to. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It makes perfect sense to Him. And that's all that matters. We've got to trust Him. These are His ways. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. I told you about Israel's roller coaster ride. How they were up and down, sideways, upside down, and everything else. In Deuteronomy 30, look at verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. It says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. That sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds great. Hey, this is good. We can do this. We can walk in His ways. We can keep His statutes and keep His commandments and keep His judgments. And we can live and multiply and go in and possess the land that God has given to us. But look at the warning. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. The warning. don't depart from the way. You know, in some places in our world, a lot of times in jungles or such, there's something called quicksand. And it may seem like a normal jungle path, right? And what do they tell you to do? Stay on the path. Right? Don't get off the path. Why? Because it's quicksand. It looks like ground, but it's not ground. It'll swallow you up. You got to stay in the path. Can I tell you, there are pitfalls and quicksand along the path of life. And if you depart from the right hand to the left hand, you'll surely perish. We got to stay on the path that God has provided for us. We got to stay according to His ways. We need to walk in His ways. You see, He says, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. What is iniquity? It is. It is sin. But it's really it's the semblance of sin. It's what you harbor and hold in your heart. Iniquity. You see, we've got to understand that sin and iniquity, these things that are within us because of the flesh and the curse that we have, we've got to put them away from us. We've got to crucify it. We've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We've got to get rid of it. We've got to say, no, we're not going to do it. And we've got to choose to walk in His ways. You see, we have a choice to make. We can walk in the ways of God's providence and obey. We can. But will we? We can keep the testimonies of the Lord because they are without contradiction and they can be kept and followed. And we certainly can walk in the law of the Lord because our Sovereign One has given us those laws to follow. You see, the psalmist here, if you go back to Psalm 119, is encouraging us about the Word of God, the wonderful Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. And church, may I present to you tonight just simply this. That God can be trusted. He can be trusted. That God can be followed. That God can be loved, worshipped, and adored in your life. If you'll choose His law, His testimonies, in His ways.